All right, here we are again for the seventh episode of the Crossover Conversations podcast. We are the Wyatts, your hosts. I'm Devin.
I'm Katie.
And Katie, it was kind of a slower week compared to the past, but that doesn't mean there's not a lot to get to. So let's go ahead and jump right in. Let's start with the furthest games from today in our weekly recap. And I think the biggest one was last Saturday when the Fever beat the Liberty.
What an upset.
For real.
But what a good game.
It was a good game. Yep, it was a tight game. It was very unexpected, at least from me. But I enjoyed watching it. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Yes. Did you catch Sabrina Ionescu's comments after the game?
Yes. I personally was not a fan of the comments. First of all, Katie, just recap. Let everybody know what exactly it is she said.
Well, in her post-game interview, she said something about how this was Indiana's Super Bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, like, this is the game of their season, you know? And I just didn't love how that was communicated.
No, I didn't like it at all. I thought it was her just trying to deflect them having played a bad game and gotten beat by a team that they shouldn't have gotten beat by, and her honestly just making excuses.
And I don't blame her for being upset, but
No. You can be upset, but like, take ownership. Yeah. Like, hey, we played bad. They beat us. They were the better team tonight. That's all you had to say.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. So that was kind of annoying. But the other big news was Caitlin Clark had a triple-double, which for those of you who don't know, that just means you scored, or not scored, but had double digits in three different statistical categories. So triple, three categories, double, double digits, that kind of thing. So she had double digits in both points, assists, and rebounds, which is a big deal for multiple reasons, but the biggest one being that she is the first rookie in WNBA history to have a triple-double.
And I think I've seen there were like 996 rookies since the WNBA began.
Right. Yep. So she's it's not like she's, you know, the first one of just a few. There's been a lot. And a lot of people have had a chance. And a lot of people have come close. And actually, she's come close multiple times this season. But that game last Saturday was the first time she actually did it.
And so I think I want to talk about maybe why it's so difficult to do that. And obviously, like we know it's difficult. That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
But I think specific to her position, what makes that difficult, Devin?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things that make it difficult. One, like you mentioned, her position. So she's a guard, typically playing in what we would call the wing, so outside the three-point line, further away from the goal, which just the nature of being in that position makes it more difficult to get rebounds. You're not near the goal, so you're not going to get as many rebounds as someone playing underneath the goal.
Okay.
So that's one reason why it makes it more difficult. Secondly, is just the WNBA game as a whole is structured, I guess, differently than, say, the NBA. There's fewer points scored. The pace of play is a little bit different. So just the ability to either score as many points or get as many as assists or even get as many rebounds is just a little bit harder in the WNBA than it is in the NBA. Plus, the WNBA game is shorter than the NBA game. There are, 8 minutes left less per game. So almost a full quarter less per game than there is in the NBA. So just time.
Right. That's a good point. I never even thought about that. I know we're about to get into it, but Angel Reese is still staying strong on her streak.
Yep, they played three times this week, and she, again, had three double-doubles to extend the streak.
I think she had four. I think it was number 16 tonight.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. I'm sorry.
Is that right?
Maybe.
I'd have to see. I thought it was number 16. But let's talk about her position specifically. Mm-hmm. So where Caitlin more often has double-doubles with assists and points, Angel has it with rebounds and points, right?
Correct. Yes. Yep, that's correct.
Okay. So I wonder, and I guess if you are a post like Angel Reese is, you are going to have less assists because you are usually being assisted to, like, correct. Help me.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. Yes, you are typically the person that a guard is passing the ball to score points.
Okay.
So you're not necessarily the one going to get the most assists, but like you said, you will hopefully score points to allow guards to get more assists.
Got it. Okay.
I would like to say, kind of a side note and a personal pet peeve of mine, when it comes to post players, specifically in the WNBA, because I think I just see it more having watched this season, is there are a lot of times where a post player will shoot a layup or a very, very short, you know, 5 foot or less jump shot that is what I'm just going to call a doink. So a missed basket, mm-hmm. that they immediately get the rebound and then are able to put up a shot and, you know, score a point, or maybe they miss it again and get another rebound. And to me, I don't know, this may just be me nitpicking, but it seems almost a little unfair for someone to be able to shoot the ball, miss it, and get their own rebound and have that count statistically. It almost seems like they're, okay, first of all, I know they're not doing it on purpose, but it kind of seems like you're padding the stats almost.
Oh, there are surely some people who are claiming that Angel and other teams and her own team are helping her, I'm using air quotes, pad this streak that she's on.
I haven't seen Angel Reese do anything that makes me think she's purposely missing a layup just to get a rebound. So I didn't mean to single her out specifically, because I see it all over the place in the WNBA. I just meant generally speaking.
Yeah.
And it happens in the NBA too. Don't get me wrong. It's just much less frequent. Because, in the NBA, let's just be honest, when you're shooting a shot that short, a lot of them are dunks.
Right.
That are going to go in the basket anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway, sorry. Little tangent, pet peeve. I'm sorry. There was a big day on Wednesday. I didn't realize this last week when we kind of touched on it, but Wednesday is the annual Kids Day, I guess, for lack of a better term, that the WNBA has. So all but two teams played on Wednesday, and they were all start times between 10 a.m. Central Time, where we are, and I believe 2 or 2:30 p.m. So they were all day games.
Right.
Which honestly made it a little bit difficult to watch. I was at work, as I'm sure many people in the country were. But I did have it on my phone on YouTube TV at my desk, so I was able to watch a little bit of it. To me, the two best games or biggest games out there were the Fever Mystics game and the Connecticut New York game.
I don't actually know that the Fever and the Mystics, was that game that good? Well, or was okay. It?
Let me.
I mean, I know that we would think that the Fever would have won, and we know that they right. fell to the Mystics.
Right.
Good
in the sense that it was a close game. Yes, I agree. It was hard to watch. The Fever, for those of you who didn't watch it, the Fever, at least in my opinion, played absolutely atrocious defense.
Yeah, I don't think I would have called that a good game. I just maybe surprising.
Yeah, surprising.
I do think.
Yes, that word.
Right. I think that the Liberty in Connecticut.
That
was
game,
the one to watch.
Yeah, that game, from what I did see, was a good game.
Well, yeah, I actually watched the last few minutes, and it was close.
It came down to basically the last shot, right, if I remember correctly?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, it was a close game, and those were, still are, number one and number two teams in the league right now, so two best teams going at it, fighting to the end, so that was kind of cool to watch. Tonight, so it's funny. My note says the Fever dominate injury-laden Mercury to sweep the series. I wrote that note about midway through the third quarter when the Fever were up almost 30 points.
Right, yeah.
As all of you saw, that's not how it ended. It was a much closer game. I think it ended up being, less than 10-point spread, right?
I think about 10 points.
About 10 points,
yeah.
Okay. So I my
it was
my
95
note was written,
to 86, so you're okay. Right, 8-9 points.
Yeah. My note was written a little too premature, one might say.
Don't do that again.
I'm sorry. From now on, I will not write any notes of the night of
games. Yeah, you can't anticipate. You can't anticipate. Okay, but so this game, Brittany Griner started, but she was out very fast.
Yep, got hurt.
Diana Taurasi was never in the game. Yep. Natasha Cloud, usually a starter. Yeah, she wasn't there.
Right.
So when they were up 30 points, I mean, I think Indiana is getting in a groove, but I don't think they're like 30 points up to the Mercury good, right? They just...
Yes, that's a fair point.
The Mercury is, you know, they don't have two of their Olympians playing for most or all of the game.
Very, very fair point.
And I truly think that Indiana got a little lax. And even you said going into the half, Indiana is up 30. They need to rest their starters, mm-hmm. or yep, maybe not going in the half, into the third quarter, whatever. And I think that, you know, sometimes you play better when your competition is greater. And I think I just think they got a little bit lax, but they pulled it out in the end. So
yep. I firmly agree with you that you do seem to play better many times when your competition is better. I think a lot of teams that are maybe not necessarily the best teams have a tendency to either play up or play down to their level of competition. And even teams at the top, we're big OU football fans, and I think that's one of the biggest gripes I've had about the OU football team for a long time is that they tend to play up or play down to their competition. It's pretty annoying.
All right, we're getting off topic here, Devin. This is a basketball podcast.
Hey, something interesting about tonight. Celeste Taylor, she was actually drafted by the Fever, played with the Fever for a little while, but then was cut, waived, however you want to say it. She was actually on the Phoenix Mercury roster tonight on a 7-day contract.
I know, and it came literally a day after she signed with an Australian basketball team. And
yeah, big week for her.
I'm curious. Yes, so she signed a 7-day contract. You told me earlier tonight there in the NBA they have a 10-day contract. Mm-hmm. What is the point? What is the purpose? Like,
right.
So tell me more about this.
The biggest reason you would sign someone to a 7-day contract in this case is simply for injury purposes. It's exactly why the Mercury used it. You have so many people injured that you need to fill your roster with players that are able-bodied. And so you sign someone to a 7-day contract, hoping that in 7 days you get some healthy players back, and then that's it. Now, you're able to renew that 7-day contract. So if your 7 days is up, you can sign them to another 7-day contract if you need to. And I think it's also important to mention that these 7-day contracts only actually come into play the second half of the season. So you can't use them in the first half
really?
Of the season.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. I'm curious how much people get paid in the – I know it's – different in the W, but I'm curious.
So it's a, I looked it up. It is a minimum of salary of the league minimum for whatever years in the league you are, if that makes any sense. So I don't know if you knew this. Maybe I should back up. There are league minimums for, you know, rookie league minimum is X amount.
Oh.
You know, second year player league minimum is X amount, so on and so forth.
No.
Okay, so I should have started with that. So yes, so with her minimum, which is, I assume is probably what she got, was the league minimum for a rookie. But it's prorated for however many games are left in the season for that specific 7 days.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. So you would take the league rookie minimum and divide it by whatever. Yeah, just let's say there's 20 games left. So divide it by the 20 games left. That's your daily salary, and you have a 7-day contract.
Okay.
So that times 7 days. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay.
I think it's interesting they chose Celeste Taylor. I'm kind of curious because she got, I don't know, 14 or 15 minutes of playing time.
Yeah, she got a decent amount of playing
time. Think she got 3 minutes total when she was playing for the Fever. I mean, just a really low number of playing time minutes. But let me see, Celeste Taylor, she actually played 24 minutes.
Really? That surprises me.
Yes. And I wondered if the Phoenix Mercury picked her up. Because they know, she knows how the Fever
operate. Yeah,
right. And so, like, if she had any insight into how to tackle that,
I would have to look at the Mercury schedule because if this game is their quote unquote biggest game in this 7-day period, that 100% makes sense. If it's not, I would lean towards they probably didn't sign her just for the quote-unquote insider information she might have.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
I mean,
it's a good theory. I like it.
Mercury play the Sun on Sunday, and then they play the Mystics on Tuesday. So
okay.
I don't really know if that goes either way, but...
Yeah. Probably just more of a...
Coinkydink.
Yeah, coinkydink one, and then just Celeste Taylor's happened to be one of the available options at the position they needed the most.
Okay.
Would be my guess. ESPYs. ESPYs were last night.
ESPYs were last night.
There was quite a bit of women's basketball coverage, I guess, for lack of a better
there
term.
There was. Even musically, Flauge from the LSU women's basketball team.
Wait, what was this? She performed. Did she really?
Yes.
I didn't know this. Like yes, sang, rapped, whatever?
Yes. I mean, all the above. Huh. And she killed it. It was really incredible. I didn't see that. Yeah, I think she announced that she had a new single with Weezy, and
I didn't even know she was trying to make it as a music, like make it like on the side
rapped.
As a musician. I did
you
not
knew
know
Flauge
that.
Rapped.
I didn't know that.
Okay, well you.
I've been
now.
Living under a rock, apparently.
But yes, so she performed. I know that the what was it? The team of the year was.
Yep, I've got
South
all,
Carolina.
I've got all the women's basketball related
all right,
awards
read
here. You
it
hear
off,
them?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Best team or team of the year was the South Carolina women's basketball team.
Okay.
Juju Watkins, the player for USC in college, won Breakthrough Athlete of the Year.
Okay.
Asia Wilson won two awards. She won Best WNBA Player and Women's Athlete of the Year.
No surprise at all.
Nope. And then Caitlin Clark also won two awards. She won Best College Athlete and Best Record-Breaking Performance.
Wow.
Also no surprise there. And then the last
one
was...
Oh, wait. Hold on. Back up with yep. the what was the record-breaking one?
Her breaking the NCAA scoring record.
Yes. Well, I know, but like that what the actual award. So I learned today that that's mm-hmm. the first time a female has ever won it.
Really?
Yes.
So that's pretty big time then.
It is big time.
Good for her. Good for her. And then the last one, women's basketball related, was Dawn Staley. She won the Jimmy V, I believe they call it the Jimmy V Courage Award, maybe.
What is the Jimmy V like Courage Award? Like what
do
they look
or
for?
Or Never Give Up Award or something like that. So it's
okay.
all based on Jimmy V's famous ESPY speech that he gave when he had cancer not long before he died, where he was basically giving an impassionate speech to everyone like, hey, I've got cancer, but I'm not going to give up. When life is hard, don't ever forgive up. Don't ever give up. Like, keep pushing through, that kind of thing.
Got it. Okay. Oh, it says it's awarded to a deserving member of the sporting world who has overcome great obstacles mm-hmm. through perseverance and determination.
Yes. There you go.
Wow. Yep. Okay.
I think it was given to her based on, you might have some other information, but based on the fact that they went, they being South Carolina, the team she's the head coach for, went undefeated, won a national championship, were expected to win a national championship last year,
mm-hmm.
didn't because they got beat by none other than the Iowa Hawkeyes and Caitlin Clark, and then came back this year and won the national championship again.
Right.
I believe that's what
that makes sense.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah,
And it also says she was honored for her support and fight for equality for women's sports and her leadership in the fight against cancer. So,
I didn't realize she had a hand in the game of the fight against cancer thing. I mean, I shouldn't say I didn't know she didn't have any. I mean, I think there's a college cancer night or cancer month or something like that. So I'm sure she plays a part in it that way, but I guess enough to be awarded for it, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, she's probably deserving of a lot of things. So
okay. Looking ahead to the week ahead. I was phrased that weird, sorry. This is the last week, or will be, the last week of the season before, one, the All-Star game, All-Star activities, and then, two, the Olympic break that will follow. We've got, I believe it's what, the 17th is the last day of games officially, 17th or 18th. So only a couple days. So if you haven't caught any games so far this season, catch some now before it's too late for the next month, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Well, you can watch the USA women's basketball.
Yes. I mean, and I hope.
And you're right. It is July 17th is the last 17th. Day, and then the 20th is the All-Star game. So is that a week from today? A week from tomorrow. Okay.
Correct. Yep. So today, next Friday, sorry, would be the skills
competition. Yeah.
Yep, and the three-point competition. And then, yes, Saturday would be the actual game. Mm-hmm. Speaking of 17th. You know what the 17th is?
Well, the 17th is most importantly my birthday.
Hey-o, happy birthday. Secondly, it is, I assume, you assume, we're both assuming, going to be our first in-game appearance at a regular season WNBA game.
That's right. The Fever is coming to town.
That's right.
And we plan on being there.
That's right.
Assuming we can get last minute tickets.
Assuming we can get last minute tickets under $1,000.
Yeah, we'll see. TBD on that.
Yeah, I think we're at a disadvantage when it comes to seeing Caitlin Clark in person, strictly because of the stadium size. For those of you who don't know or haven't listened, we're in Dallas, and the Dallas Wings play in a roughly 8,000-seat arena. And as of tonight, Friday, before the week before the game, they haven't moved it to a bigger arena.
It is shocking. I mean, at this point, I don't think they're going to, but it is so surprising because I feel like all of these markets have moved to bigger stadiums to accommodate just all the fans.
Yep.
But anyway, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, this could be the smallest attended game that Caitlin Clark has played in front of this year, and it's not because the stadium's going to be empty. It's because it's going to be the smallest stadium of the season
that
she's played in. So that is another reason why I think tickets are a little bit more expensive down here in Dallas.
Yeah, it should be fun, though.
Yeah, should be. As of today, or before tonight's games, I should say, I thought it was interesting. You might want to know the playoff teams, if the playoffs were to start today, would be New York Liberty as the number one seed, Connecticut, number two seed, Minnesota, Las Vegas, Seattle, Phoenix, Chicago, and wrapping it up, Indiana.
And so that leaves out who? Sparks, Atlanta Dream, Mystics, and who am I missing?
Who are we missing here?
It's going to be like really obvious.
It's got to be
the Wings.
Oh, yeah, the Wings. You're right. It was going to be an obvious one.
That's funny.
That is funny.
So one other thing, the Unrivaled League had some...
That's the 3-on-3 league, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the one that is co-founded by Brianna Stewart and Nafisa Collier.
Mm-hmm.
They are announcing their, I think it's 30 players that are going to be joining the league for 2025 season.
Okay.
The very first person announced was none other than Stewie, so one of the co-founders, and no surprise, the second person announced is Fee, so Nafisa Collier.
Again, no surprise.
Right, so that makes sense.
Is that kind of a conflict of interest playing in the league that you created?
I don't know. I mean, we'll see. It might be weird if they're on the same team. I'm kind of curious how that works, like how the teams are going to be divided up. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, they have to be kind of strategic about it.
Like, right, I mean, it's 3-on-3.
Right, yeah. So... and then there were two others that were announced. They're releasing names one day at a time.
Oh, interesting.
So yesterday they announced that Chelsea Gray is going to be joining.
Huh.
Okay. She plays for the Aces.
Yep, that's correct.
Las Vegas Aces. And then today it was announced that Arike from the Wings. Yep, so she is the fourth one who has been announced, and so we'll continue to see day after day who else is joining, and can give more of an update next week.
Yeah, I had a question before you had started naming names, but I think just the four names you listed off answered my question, because my biggest question was going to be, hey, are these going to be mainly WNBA players playing in this league, or are they going to be maybe players that either didn't make a WNBA roster but want to play, or players from overseas, or just
that's a really good heard of? That's a really good question. Like, are we going to see players from overseas?
Mm-hmm.
I don't picture there being a ton of women who like. Let me finish my thought. I don't picture there being a ton of players that are like not playing overseas or not playing in the WNBA. You know, like I don't picture there being that situation, but isn't there someone on the 3-on-3 USA women's basketball team that's like not on a team right now?
Correct. You're putting me on the spot and I can't remember her name, but you are right. There is a player who she used to play professionally, but she does not currently. Yes.
Right. So I don't know. We'll see. I would like to see some people who are domestic, like here in the U.S.
We're gonna see someone like Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese.
I don't know. I just don't know the 3-on-3 game. I'm excited to learn more once I watch it in the Olympics.
Yes.
And then I'll be able to kind of maybe understand who has maybe the stronger skills.
Right. And I kind of wonder what kind of money's being thrown out for this league, because typically these WNBA players go overseas during the time of year that this league will be going, to make more money.
Right, and that's why I think I'd like to see women who are in the United States, just because they usually, on the off season. Mm-hmm. So just kind of be nice for their families.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this on Unrivaled's, not Instagram, X page, this says what you need to know about Unrivaled. So it's a condensed full court 3-on-3. There are 30 players, 5 per team. It's going to be January through March 2025. Apparently, it's all going to be played in Miami.
Oh, really?
So everyone will be in Miami. It says it's the highest average salary for a women's sports league.
Oh, wow.
All 30 players will receive equity in the league, which I think we knew. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that I think I saw something like it's going to be $100,000 each or something like that.
Pretty good for just a couple of months of playing ball.
I mean, 3 months. I'd love to make $100,000 in 3 months.
Yeah, for real.
Sign me up.
Yeah, sign me up, too. So with that being said, first, I didn't realize they were all being played in Miami. Mm-mm. Does that mean that there's a weekend trip to Miami in our future?
Hey, that would be super fun, especially January through March.
Yeah, and plus, I'm assuming with them all being played in the same city that it's probably similar to that Ice Cube Big 3 League, where it's like one day they have all the teams playing that day. So like the way that league works is it's literally like a 2 or 3 hour period where you have back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back games with all these teams playing each other. So we could go to one day and see all of the teams and all the players play.
Right.
Assuming that that's how it is run, which would be kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm also curious to see what kind of TV deals, if any, they get.
Yep, now that's where all the money's going to come from. Well, not all the money, but big money.
Right.
If they can get it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should be really interesting. Well, I don't have anything left. You don't have anything left. We've gone through a lot in a relatively not a lot to talk about week. So thanks again for listening, guys. This is the Crossover Conversations Podcast. We are the hosts. I'm Devin.
And I'm Katie.
We'll see you next week. Thanks again.